You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Yes, good morning. Sorry about that. It's my fault. Let me turn this off real quick. Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. And I hope you're having a nice morning. I have a guest speaker with me today, Pastor Paul Esposito. I'm honored to have him, and he'll be on in just a few minutes. But I'd like to play a song before I start, and then I've got another song for my lovely wife, who I'm going to be having my 39th anniversary, so I want to play a song for her real quick. Enjoy the song, and I'll be right back.
with thanks, enter his courts with praise, bring him a shout of joy, sing of his endless fame. For the Lord is good and his love endures, his love endures forever.
How good it is to know Jesus. I tell you, I don't know, Pastor Paul, what the world does without Jesus, but I tell you what, that's why I come here each week, to encourage all of you to fall deeper in love with Jesus like never before, and as the scriptures tell us, draw near to him, and he shall draw near to thee. I'm going to play a song for my wife. She gets a little shy, but the Bible tells us, and Pastor Paul, I told your wife this one time, he that finds a wife finds a good thing.
Amen to that.
And you found a good thing, because your wife is precious.
Yeah, I certainly
have. She's very precious. Yeah. So, you know, I met my wife when I was in the mission field, and her husband passed away, and I had an opportunity of going to the hospital many nights, sitting by his bedside, praying with him. I brought him a lot of fruit, and he and I became very good friends. And then his wife left the islands of Hawaii, and I knew in my heart she was really a special lady. And her husband one night put his arm on my wrist and says, "Tom, take care of my family." I said, "Oh, Bernie, you're going to be fine. The Lord's going to heal you." And then he had passed away. He had a brain tumor. And then she called me one night, and we talked probably for, I'd say, 7 hours. I don't remember, sweetheart, but it was a long, long time. She wanted to end her life by taking some pills. And hope, sweetheart, you don't mind me sharing this. And she said, "If I die, would the Lord take me to heaven?" And I said, you've got a lot to live for. And that's why Hebrews 3:13, you all, is so important, that we are to encourage one another daily, not monthly, not biweekly, not year. You know, we are to make a habit of encouraging our pastors, everyone that we meet. We are called to encourage one another daily. That's why it's so important. Pastor Paul, I left the radio station last Thursday, and I had a very difficult day Friday, and very difficult, and one of the hardest days in my entire life. And I went to the P.O. box, and usually people send me money to the little ministry, and I got this letter, and my wife told me not to talk about it, and it was a very discouraging letter, and I don't want to bring praise to it, bring honor, and I want the Holy Spirit to be present in our radio program today, and I don't want to quench the Spirit of God, but the letter was terrible. It brought me to my knees, and I walked out of that post office crying. How they said the person said that I don't have a prophetic ministry. Let's go back. You know, I'm not the most qualified to be here, you all. You know, I'm not the most educated, and I realize that. My grammar is not often good, Pastor Paul. But I come with a willing heart each week to encourage each and every one of you. I come with that. You know, I'm still learning the Word of God, and I'm still learning. I don't think we ever stop learning. And his message was, you know, Pastor Paul, that I don't have a prophetic ministry. I have a pathetic ministry. And what a thing to share to a Christian brother, Pastor Paul.
You don't pay any attention to that. You know, I'm here to build you up today. You know, I think if Jesus had a radio program today, he'd call it the same as you. Wake up. And I love that name, and it's right out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, if you have it in the New American Standard, when he writes to the spiritual leader of this church. He says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die.
Yes.
For I have not found your works completed in the sight of God. Yes. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. What a great name for a radio broadcast. Mine is WGOD Radio, because being a radio man here, former manager here for some 22 years, I love the idea that God's always broadcasting. You know, sometimes if you go far away, like, you know, with this radio station, you know, you really don't know what you have until you're gone. And there's nothing like WMIE. It's the greatest radio station ever. It's a lost, dying breed where there's a local radio station where local people like you and me, you know, can get on. It's not a conglomerate. It's not owned by a big company. And sometimes you don't realize what you have until you're gone. When you go somewhere, you turn in those old things. These radios used to have these things called dials on them. And you would turn a dial searching for, you know, and you're searching for the Word of God somewhere. And then finally, you hear it and you hear someone read, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you say, yes, I finally found it. God, you see, God's always broadcasting. And I just love radio. And it's so good to be back here.
Yeah, thank you,
Pastor. On with you. I appreciate you. But my point was, every Sunday when I'm preaching, the Lord always brings us back to the same place. And that is the word today in the book of Hebrews. Yeah. While it's today. You know, there used to be a little coffee shop across the street over here. They used to have a sign up there that said, free coffee tomorrow. But it's never tomorrow. It's always today. And he says, wake up, man. Smell the coffee here. Wake up.
Yes.
And today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts like the Jews did out here in the wilderness. Yep. And here he says, wake up. What a great name for your radio broadcast. I know you're a blessing to so many people, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Pastor Paul. I think a lot of my issues with the ministry is my name that people pick on. that you shouldn't glorify your name. And I'm not trying, Pastor Paul, to glorify time. Matter of fact, I'm in touch with the attorney to change the name of the ministry and get it out of Tom. And I seem to be getting picked on, even my church. A couple people have picked on me at my church. And I understand that there have been a lot of evangelists that have abused it, you know, but there are some pastors out there, some people like myself that are not in it for the money. We're after people, leading people to Jesus. Pastor Paul, you're very gifted in the Word of God. And we do what God's calling us to do. You know, He doesn't look for those that, when I went into the mission field and I got a call, Pastor Paul, by Dr. Patrick, he just said, Tom, I need help in the mission field. And you always told me if I ever needed help, I could call you. I said, but Dr. Patrick, I have 10 more years and I get a pension. He said, that's not what you told me. You told me if I ever needed help, I could call you. See, the disciples, you know, they were fishermen and men, Pastor Paul, I believe, help me out on this. When Jesus called them, they just dropped the nets and they followed Jesus. Were they the most qualified? I'm not sure, but they were the most willing to do what Jesus told them to do. And that's what Jesus is looking for.
That's right.
Pastor Paul, isn't he?
Absolutely.
If you find people in your church that, you know, have that heart. Yes. They have that heart for teaching and ministering and supporting you and encouraging you. That's what Jesus is looking for, not ability. Ability's great if you have a, you know, I have my degrees, my BA and my MA and my PhD. BA is I'm born again. My MA is I'm mad at the devil. My PhD, I'm past having doubts. The Word works. You just read the Word, study the Word to show yourself approved, a workman and not me be ashamed. And I'll tell you what, if you're just open and available and have that heart, Jesus will use you, you know? No matter what the naysayers, no matter what a letter comes in the P.O. box and says, you know? And I remember years ago, there was a lady mentoring my wife and I for ministry, along with a few other people, and we had to drive to Daytona. And she got a letter, and I saw her crying in the car. And I knocked on the window. I said, Kathy, are you okay? And she was crying. I said, Kathy, she rolled the window down and says, Tom, this is awful. I got a letter. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of this letter the other day. And I said, Kathy, I feel that that letter in my spirit, the Holy Spirit's telling me, wasn't written from the heavens. It was written from the flesh. And that encouraged her. And I remember that the Holy Spirit brought that to my remembrance. And I don't want to glorify this anymore, but we are to encourage one another. So, you know, I'm just here to encourage one another, you know, to draw you closer to Jesus for that you can take the gifts that are in you that God has given you and bring them out of dormancy so that you can become alive in Jesus, right. That you can do the things that Jesus is calling you to do. Because I believe that we're living in a time, it's dark. It is dark everywhere you go. What do you think, Pastor Paul?
Absolutely. I just always remember what the Lord said. He said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself.
Oh, so some men?
That's what we
some
do.
Men,
no,
some
he
men?
Said all men.
All. That's all men unto him, you know? And I hear people complain about these pastors flying 70 million. Let's get our minds off of that. You know, I'm not in ministry. Pastor Paul's not in ministry. We're not in ministry to fly a $60 million jet and manipulate you all out of money. We're in it because we're after people. And Jesus died on the cross and shed his precious blood. Guess what? For people. For people. And that's what it's about. You know, building people, not building our jets, building our mansions. It's building people. And when you begin to do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall follow. I went to the mission field and I was flat broke. My career was over with. My sister went through a divorce. I had to go get her in Texas and come home. And then my pastor, and I was up in the balcony. My pastor, I went to the church where Colonel Sanders went, Evangel Tabernacle. I'm hiding up at the balcony, and my pastor goes, there's a man here being very disobedient. And I thought, I nudged my sister, and I said, I feel bad for that brother. And he said, Tom Jones, get down here. You're not where God wants you. Now get out of here. I said, well, I got to save up a little bit more money to get back to Hawaii. And the pastor said, no, you got to leave. Church, take up a collection. I couldn't tell you. And then he unfolded 7 post-dated checks. He said, get on your way now. You know, and I thank God for pastors that hear from God and people that hear from God and not be just a hearer of the word, Pastor Paul, but become a doer what it says to do. So before I have Pastor Paul share, can I play one song,
sure,
Pastor
absolutely.
Paul, just
Please
real
do.
Quick? And it's for my lovely wife who's put up with me, who's encouraged me. And I tell you, I had to my wife told me, take that letter and throw it away. There's a lot of naysayers. When you're called to do something, let me tell you what, there's going to be a lot of naysayers. I don't know about you, Pastor Paul, but when God's put something on your heart, there's going to be dream killers saying, you can't do it. Oh, you cannot do it. I've had people call me a ditch digger. I've had them call me, look, we have to move past this. Souls are at stake for Jesus. That's what it's about, Pastor Paul. That's what it's about. You know, and everybody's name it, claim it. You want it, you can have it. So $20 and you get $100. You know, give me $10,000 and you know, God will give you $1 million. That doesn't work that way. Prosperity is Jesus. That's what I found, Pastor
That's
Paul.
That's right.
Prosperity, knowing him. Knowing him. He didn't say he's going to give you $1 million. He didn't say he's going to give you that Cadillac. He'll give you him. And that's what we're after, is Jesus, not stuff, not seeking the kingdom, what we can get out of it, but seek the king.
Amen.
Seek the king. Mm-hmm. Before I put Pastor Paul, I'm going to play this song. Sorry, Pastor Paul, I'm getting sidetracked. But anyway, this song's for my lovely wife. I'm going to say thank you for putting up with me. And happy 39th anniversary, sweetheart. I think April's the month I go broke. It's her birthday. It's our anniversary. And then my birthday's next week. And I don't want to turn 70, you all, but the clock is ticking. So, sweetheart, enjoy this song. It's for you. Happy anniversary, sweetheart. Well, I'm honored to have Pastor Paul here joining me this morning. What a great honor, Pastor Paul. Thank you for joining in with me this morning. And we have something we'd like to share with you. Pastor Paul, if you could just take it from here.
Well, the honor is mine. I appreciate you having me here on your program here today. And, you know, let me remind you, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
And what a awesome example you give of that.
Thank
so
you.
Congratulations for you guys and your anniversary.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Well, you called me last week because you said you heard the radio broadcast, and that was from a sermon I just preached, 2 weeks ago. It was on Ananias and Sapphira. So, we've been going through the book of Acts verse by verse at the church, and interesting subject heading. If you have a New King James Bible for this, it's called, and it says, Lying to the Holy Spirit. Mm. And that's the famous story. I'm sure many of you know. It's about two, I can't call them saints. I'll call them a man and a woman that were part of a church. And the story picks up in Acts chapter 5. So let me start to read through it. And, the main thing that I want to look at is what the Lord showed me through going through this. And that is, how did people like this end up in the church? Because, let's read through it and see where we end up. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. And he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Interesting thing with Peter. I've learned, through preaching Acts, actually through the last time through the book of Acts, that Peter is an extension of Jesus now. Have you noticed that? Look at the things that the Apostle Peter does now. First of all, he knows people's thoughts. He knows people's hearts. He knows what's in a person. He knows what's in someone's heart. He knows what's in people's minds. And as we're going to see, later on in chapter 10, he can do like Jesus did with Lazarus. Mm. He's gonna speak people back to life. And now here we're going to see he's going to speak people to death. And he's like an extension of Christ Jesus here on earth. He's continuing his ministry here. So starting with that. Verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? How did he know that stuff? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and breathed his last. Or you could say, he fell down and died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7. Now, about 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Now, here comes Sapphira, right? She comes right in, right out of the camel dealer. They got all this money. She probably just got her hair done too, maybe her nails. So she's coming in whistling Dixie now, sitting on all this money. And you see, Peter had to separate them, because if she would have seen her husband lying down stone cold dead there on the floor, she probably would have changed her story some. So they had to haul him out. He's gone. Here she comes in, blowing on her nails. She got a new camel tied up out back here. Unbeknownst to her, everything that had just taken place here. Listen to what the Apostle Peter now says to this woman. Now, about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, for so much. Then Peter says, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? So to be a fly on the wall, I wonder how that conversation went out. So he says, why have you conspired together? So they sat around the falafel table and talked about this here together. I can hear it now. It's not like he's God or something. Well, and he's not God. You see, this is one of the great revelations here. Now, I'm not going to contradict the Bible, but they didn't lie to God. They lied to a man. Matter of fact, they lied to the pastor of the church, mm-hmm. You see. But apparently, you see, lying to the spiritual leader of the church in God's kingdom in the way that he looks at it, lying to the spiritual leader of the church is the same thing as lying to God. But they must have said, it's only a man. What's he going to do, kill us? Or he'll never know. What's the big deal? He's just a man. He's not going to know. We'll keep some of this money. So they conspired together to do this, not realizing that lying to the pastor of the church was the equivalent of lying to God. Not just because, oh, just say he was an apostle, but lying to the spiritual leader of the church in his eyes was the same as lying to God. That's one of the reasons I say, Tom, for why the book of Acts is a historical book. Not to be duplicated ever again. Because if this kind of stuff happened today, imagine what would happen today if people dropped down stone cold dead for lying to their pastor. You know, I mean, I hear the stories all the time. And I just, you know, thank God the book of Acts is a historical book. You know, people come up to me, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I missed church this week because of, you know, dot, dot, dot. If you'd only be honest, and that was all that was required of here, is if they were honest, this wouldn't have happened to them. That's all they had to say is, look, you know, everyone here was selling everything that they had, and they were giving it away. That's all you got to do is be honest. How many people out here today within the sound of my voice would have a problem with giving away every cent and dime, selling your house, selling your business, selling your car, and giving all that money away? How many people out there would have a little bit of anxiety of knowing what are you going to do next because you don't own a cent? Probably 100 out of 100. We have anxiety now with stuff.
We do.
All you have to do is be honest about it. So all they had to do was go to Peter and say, look, Peter, I'm sorry about this. I was just had anxiety because I don't know how I would survive without able to take care of my family. Or I've got, you know, dot, 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 fill in your own blank. I've got a sick child. I've got this. I've got that. I've got expenses. I mean, make up your own excuse. That's all that had to do was be honest. And Peter said to them that while it was yours, this was yours. You could have kept all the money. What's the big deal? You didn't have to do this. But they lied. And I want to peel back the layers of this onion here and see how people like this ended up in the church. Because all he had to do was say, you know, that's not for me. I need my money. I mean, people do anything for money. So here they're going to give away almost all of the money, keep back a little bit, and die for it. So let's continue here. So Peter, this is verse 8, Acts chapter 5, verse 8, if you guys are just tuning in here right now, what a blessing you inviting me to come in here on your program, on this Wake Up program here today, on this 23rd day of April. Man, oh man, it's time to wake up. You know, Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, I hear you say this all the time, and it's so true. That's why he says, wake up. And today, if you hear his voice, you know, thank God it's still today for all of us out here, that there's still an opportunity for us, you know, to make things right. And really, if you find yourself guilty of this, I mean, this is what we did at church here when I preached this. The Lord had me stop right here in the middle of this and say, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And if you have found that you yourself have lied and lied to the spiritual leader of your church, praise God, you're convicted by that. Because all you got to do is make it right. That's all, Tom. You stop and we make it right. This is why there was 3 hours of darkness in the world when Jesus died, transferring your sins and mine onto him. So that's all we got to do is make it right. This is why Jesus died, so we can make it right. We all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. Let's just make it right. Just, Lord God, I've lied to my pastor. I confess this to you. I repent of this sin of lying. I've lied to my husband. I've lied to my wife. I've lied to other people. I've let lying personify me, and I don't want that anymore. You've convicted me of this because you want to give me the victory for it. So I leave it behind. I turn and repent of this junk. I leave it behind, and I pray that your cleansing fire will obliterate my sins. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and ask this, amen. That's all we have to do, Tom.
Yeah.
Leave it behind. You're convicted of it because he wants to give you the victory here. This is why he died. So, okay, let me continue here now. So Peter says, tell me whether or not you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, or behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Boy, can't you just picture these guys? I mean, they barely get back in the door, and now here's someone else they got to go out and bury. You know, when they came back the next time, they probably didn't even put their shovels away. They probably said, hold on a minute, Hector. Let's see who's next. Who's next out here that wants to lie to the spiritual leader of the Church of Jesus Christ? They barely walk in the door. Here comes the next victim that we got to take out and bury. Verse 10, then immediately she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in, found her dead. See, I wasn't even exaggerating. They didn't even sit down yet. The young men came in and found her dead and carrying her out, they buried her by her husband. Now listen to the response of the church and outside the church. So great fear came upon all the church and, that's A-N-D is how you spell and upon all of those who heard these things. So not only were the people in the church, did great fear fell upon them, but great fear fell upon everyone else as well. You know what? We better be a little bit careful. We better be serious for the Lord if we plan on being a part of the church. Look what happens to lying for God here at the church. Imagine that. And, you know, thank God those kind of things don't happen anymore. Now, you know, people don't drop dead like that anymore for lying to God. However, now, I don't want to make your charismatic brethren upset at me for saying, or anyone else out there, but you do see similar things happen today. Revelation chapter 2, you get the pastor of that church in Thyatira. He says, you tolerate that woman Jezebel who teaches and seduces my people to commit fornication and sexual immorality. He said, I gave her time to repent, and she doesn't want to repent. And then he says, I'm going to haul this woman out of here on a stretcher or a sick bed. And then he said, and I will kill her children with death if they don't repent of her works. So they might not be dropping stone cold dead like they did in this. And also, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for taking Holy Communion irreverently. He says, for this reason, that is the improper use of communion, of treating it like Hawaiian punch and Twinkies, not understanding that Holy Communion is sacred. And there's more to that than meets the eye here. Holy Communion is sacred. There is healing in Holy Communion, taking it right. There's obliteration of sin, everything good. stopping and remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did by dying in our place on the cross. When we do that right, but when you do that wrong, he said irreverently, he says, for this reason, many are weak. Many people are sick. That's the word asthenia, infirmity. The sign they used to hang over the room there in the war where all the sick people were, and infirmary. For this reason, that's taking communion irreverently. Many are sick, many are weak. And then he says, and many sleep. That is, many have died. Then he says, not discerning the Lord's body. Now that was written 30 years after what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, Tom. So, okay, that's what happened then. And on my way into church, that was 2 weeks ago, 6 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot, the Lord planted this on me that the following week he wanted me to preach on how people like this ended up in the church in the first place. And the answer to that, because there is an answer to that, and that would be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, picking it up here in verse 24, with the subject heading of the parable of the wheat and the tares. You see, there's a reason why they ended up in the church, because I believe it's not about money, Tom. I believe that they ended up in the church for sinister reasons. Now, let's pick it up here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Now, another parable he put before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, I love when he says that. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like. What's he going to say? I mean, what are all of the nice things? You know, what is heaven like? You know, we always picture what's heaven like, you know. Grandpa Jones would say, deep dish apple pie. You know, freshly cut grass. How about the smell of gasoline? I used to love that smell. Remember, it's the smell of gasoline at a gas station, or freshly cut grass. So what's your opinion, Lord Jesus? What's the kingdom of heaven like? Listen to what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an ekthros anthropos has done this. Our translations say enemy. That word is ekthros anthropos, means a hostile man has done this. So the servant said to him, well, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. You know, thank God they didn't gather me up back in the day, because I certainly looked like one for first 30 years of my life. This is why he says, no, leave them alone, because maybe you're going to hear this and you're going to repent and make it right. You and I, Tom, are not qualified to weed his field. He's going to weed it when he gets to the explanation of this. You know, they used to say to me, Tom, when I was a kid, he's going to need an asbestos suit where he's going. Thank God no one weeded me back in the day, because if you looked at things, it certainly would have looked like on the surface that you better get me out of this field here, because that's nothing but a tear. And you know what, Tom? Maybe I was a tear. But I'll tell you what. God is able today to adopt you into his family, and you can change daddies today. That's the good news out of this. Is maybe you find yourself, you were a tear. Now, some people are tears and don't even know it. by destroying fellowships, by sowing discord wherever you go, and you go from church to church, sow discord, that's a tear. Some people are tares and do know it. And they're diabolical. And I put it to you that Ananias and Sapphira were tares. And it wasn't about money, Tom. It was about, well, Jesus said to the Pharisees, that's John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and you seek to do his desires. For he is a liar and the father of lies. When he lies, it says in the NIV, when he lies, he speaks his native language because there's no truth in him. Now, let's go on here with this. So they said, do you want us to gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, he's going to get to the explanation of that. But then in the meantime, he has a couple of other small little examples here, Tom, of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 31, he said, another parable he put before them, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. What a great thing that is. The smallest little seed, the smallest seed known to man, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That is you going down here to the bagger at Publix and saying to them, you know what, God loves you. That's going somewhere else, inviting someone to church. The most seemingly innocent enough thing here, he is saying, the smallest infinitesimal, smallest little seed that you plant, God can take, because he gives the increase. Remember, Paul said he planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. You plant the smallest seed. Maybe telling someone that God loves them. Maybe someone saying to someone, you know what, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you for this terrible sin. The smallest seed will in turn grow up to be a huge plant. And as much as the first parable here, remember, he said, some don't understand the cares of this world, knocks one out. Some understand that don't understand, knocks them out. The deceitfulness of riches, knock that group out. Wheat, tares, as much as all those are part of the kingdom, so is you going out here today on this Thursday and planting the smallest seed known to man. Go out there and sow that seed here today and let God do what he does with it. All it is. It's the smallest little. You don't have to be Moses. All you got to do is be faithful. Let me say this to you, too. I know we're running out of time. Let me say this. Whoever it is that God has put on your heart here today, that God's already working on that person behind the scenes, Tom, he's already working on them. You are the cherry on top. He's already preparing them. He's preparing them for you. That's all you got to do. Be faithful to God. If he has put someone on your heart, he is already working behind the scenes, just like Philip the evangelist. He says, don't even think about what you're going to say in advance when you get there. Of all coincidences, the guy's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he said, who is this? Who's he talking about? You know, God was already preparing him before he sent, that's Acts chapter 8, before he sent Philip the evangelist over to him, God was already working on him. And it's the same thing with you here today, friend. Whoever it is that God's going to put on your heart, let me encourage you, God is already working on that person behind the scenes. All that's required of you is to be faithful. Don't plan ahead of time what you're going to do, what you're going to say. just as the Bible says, I think it's Romans 8:14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let God lead you. Okay, lastly, well, then he gives another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid. Normally, leaven in the Bible is usually a bad thing, right? And you know, it's the Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we expositors wonder how to interpret that. Is that good or evil? But he says this is what heaven is like. If leaven is evil, that is, again, you see, while men slept, while people weren't paying attention, the devil came out here, sowed his ilk into the kingdom, and then before you know it, as it says here, now the all the dough is full of leaven now. Leaven usually is evil in the Bible. Regardless, he says this is what heaven is like. That there's a fight out here between good and evil. Satan is out here today trying to corrupt the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's get to the explanation here, because I know we only got 8 minutes left here to your program today here, Tom. Let's go down to verse 36, Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares. You see, sometimes he comes down hard on them for not understanding, right? How is it you don't understand this parable? Not here, because you need help to understand. You're not going to understand. This is like inside baseball, something you're never going to get on your own. You need help. You see, you need help to understand these things. There's a spiritual war and fight going on behind the scenes to corrupt and pollute and contaminate the kingdom of God out of his own mouth. What's heaven like? It's like him sowing seed and Satan coming while you and I weren't paying attention, you see. Now let's go on here again. Verse 36. His disciples came and said, explain to us the parable of the tares. And he said to them, he just goes right into the answer here, because they'll never get this without him. Remember, he says, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom and these parables. But to those that are outside, it has not been given. So he says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Make no mistake about it. That's Jesus Christ. He's the kingdom of heaven is like Jesus Christ sowing his good seed in the world. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That would be you. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. I once heard an interesting thing, a story on what a tare is. A tare, the Greek word is zizania. I call it lasagna. It looks exactly like a wheat until harvest time. They're indistinguishable until once you spot one. Like a dandelion. You know, I always thought a dandelion was a flower. And then someone who knew more than me told me, no, I'm not Pastor Paul. That's a weed. Ah, I see, now my eyes are open to the truth. And now everywhere I look, what I thought was a flower ends up being a weed. And I didn't know it, but once I know it, now my eyes are open, and now I see that weed everywhere that I look, but I wouldn't have known it until someone showed me here. So, tare looks exactly like a wheat until it sprouts here, as he's going to say to us here. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Verse 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. Practice, you know, like practicing a tuba. My mother used to send me down to the basement, practice that saxophone. Where they used to say to Curly and the Three Stooges, you know, where do you practice medicine? And he goes, I don't need to practice medicine. I know it. Or he practice law. See, this is when this describes you. You practice these things. So he says, The Son of Man will send out his angels, and he will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire. Good Lord. And they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I know we're just about out of time, Tom, but what the Lord showed me through preaching these past 2 weeks is that with Ananias and Sapphira, it wasn't about the money. Because if it was about the money, they never would have joined in the first place. But Ananias and Sapphira were tares. They were right out of Lord Jesus' mouth here. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's good and evil. They're growing up right beside each other. But in the early days of the church, lying to God like this was not going to be tolerated. So it wasn't about the money. It was about these guys were tares sown by the wicked one. And that really was about it. So I know we're about out of time. I appreciate you having me on here today.
What a great honor. It's great.
My honor that you would want me even here on your program here today. And I don't know what else to say about it. So,
what kind of reminds me, Pastor Paul, of what the scriptures tell us, don't worry about tomorrow, for today's has enough cares of its own. Because I believe when we worry about tomorrow, when those divine opportunities come today, we miss them because we're so busy worrying about tomorrow. As Ananias, they conceived that deed in their heart. They were thinking about it. They must have thought about it and planned it. I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what he said, right? Why have you agreed together? So, I mean, there's what they call that, and that's legal, isn't it? The meeting of the minds. Once you can establish that, then, you know, punishment's coming, and their punishment was death. And it's interesting, you see, now don't say I'm going against the Bible when I say this. They didn't lie to God. They lied to the pastor of the church. But Peter says, no, you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. So, yeah, I'm not saying they didn't lie to God, but they set out lying to the spiritual leader of the church. And that, you better be careful if you do that. Because if you lie to the spiritual leader of the church, judgment is coming. I gave you the other examples. Revelation chapter 2, following an evil leader of the church who was leading people into sin, taking Holy Communion the wrong way, that might not drop dead like they did in that time, but we still see those kind of things happening here today as we read in other places of the Bible. But thanks for having me, brother. I really appreciate it. And God bless your listeners and keep up this awesome ministry here that you're doing here at WMIE.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Paul. And it was a great honor to have you. And every time I see your wife, I thought, he that finds a wife, Pastor Paul finds a good thing.
You know, when I married her, one of her longtime family friends was there at our wedding, and she came up to me, this elderly lady, and she said to me, I hope you realize that you've struck gold. Good. And I said to her, Sandy, I certainly do realize that. Thank you. And God's been good to me. And what an awesome God that we serve. And again, amen. I just can't encourage everyone enough. If you're convicted by any of this, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be convicted. This is why Jesus died. And we just take the time today on this Thursday, or if you're hearing this on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, you take the time and make it right. That's all. This is why Jesus died. So we can make it right. And you can walk out here today sin-free. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll obliterate our sins. Thank God for that.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Paul.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.